welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Or if you're watching the video version, welcome to this new edition of Paw Patrol.
That's
Paw Patrol
right.
Politics.
That's right. I think it's weird that Brad's wearing a costume. I'm, of course, normal. I know what you're thinking. If you are not watching the video, he better not be dressed like that fucking cop Chase from Paw Patrol. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I had to join my daughter and my wife who were dressed as Paw Patrol members. None of them were that fucking cop because I truly believe that all cops are bastards.
Including Chase.
Including Chase. Chase more than others, frankly. I am, in fact, dressed as Marshall, the firefighter, because no one has ever written a song called Fuck the Fire Department. Firefighters.
It's true. It's true. It just goes to show you that truly on this podcast, there's no job too big, no job too small. Paw Patrol, we're on a roll. Here we go.
We're two dads. Can you tell? And I'm leaving it on the whole fucking show. Not taking it off. All right. So let's get right into it. Look, so, Mike Johnson is now the Speaker of the House. That is official. There's been interesting kind of things coming out about him, which I think is very weird.
Are you kidding me? As soon as they elected this guy, right, and as soon as that he started sitting down for, one-on-one interviews and some of his old stump speeches and shit like that started getting dredged up from when he first ran for Congress. Because remember, this dude's only been in Congress for 6 years. He is truly MAGA Mike, as both the Republicans and the Democrats have taken to calling him. I had to pinch myself and ask, is this Christmas? Because holy shit, what a gift moderate Republicans have given us on the left going into an election year.
Yeah, it's really weird, right? Because there's an article, it's obviously, coming from the folks over at MSNBC, so you can take it with the giant grains of salt. But I actually think they're correct here. The title of the article is Why Mike Johnson Days as Speaker May Already Be Numbered. There's the top story that we have this week kind of proves he's already going to run headfirst into some shit that he probably doesn't want to. But that aside, Mike Johnson represents every extremist view the Republicans are said to have, right? He's extreme on gay rights. He's extreme on, trans rights. He's any social issue. He is at
abortion.
Abortion. Yeah. He is at the furthest end of the right on all of that. So Democrats have this ability to go, that guy is a perfect example of the type of shitbirds that this Republican Party will produce for you. These are the guys you want this asshole to be in charge, this guy and a bunch of assholes just like him. Then you have to try, right? You can't even be he's reasonable on X, Y, and Z. He's not.
This is a dude who, I'm sure you can find the clip because it's been running everywhere, who literally said as he was running for office back in 2016, everything in this country was going great until we had a sexual revolution and a feminist revolution and no fault divorce laws. And that ruined everything. And now we're a completely amoral society because of these very reasonable things that came into vogue in the 60s.
Like the no fault divorce. that's, by the way, as an aside, that is top tier. One of the craziest hills to die on as a man in 2023. Why can women divorce us? I don't know, dude. You seem like an asshole. They should be allowed to leave. What the fuck?
And it boggles my mind. And I know we don't have it in the docket, but I still – it's crazy to me that moderate Republicans stood their ground. And by the way, major dude I told you for me last week, because I went back and listened to last week's episode after
the speaker. I was 100% wrong. I said that we were not
the speaker. I literally said, what's going to happen here is, someone's going to cave and it's probably going to be the moderates. Little did I know it was going to happen, the next day. I was not predicting that.
Unanimously,
by
the way. Unanimously.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. They firmly obstruct Jim Jordan. And good on them. But then somehow amazingly capitulate to Mike Johnson. I guess they thought that the guy was so anonymous that, he wouldn't come back to bite them. And then, but it's like, bro, like, we have the tape, like, and he's the one out here, like, in his like acceptance speech of getting the gig is like, yeah, like, this is all thanks to Jesus. Every single one of us here, like, are lifted up because of Jesus, and he appointed us to these positions of power. And I'm like, wow, like, you guys straight up put a religious fundamentalist in as the fucking the top dude in the house.
I don't know that there's documentation that he's ever said this, but this dude definitely believes, like, gay sex causes hurricanes, right? Like, this guy is a complete lunatic. I guarantee you he does.
One of the primary authors also of trying to move actual legislation to get the 2020 election overturned. Like, moderates opposed Jim Jordan because of his election denialism, but somehow it's okay for a dude that actually, like, was doing the groundwork to be up there.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's because they figure he's an unknown, right? He's an unknown entity. They knew they could get him. They could get him past the goal of Trump, right? Which is he had to fucking support the coup, even though they didn't necessarily want a person who supported the coup. Like, that was clearly, you know, just from the last couple of votes and stuff like that was obvious. But I think it's just like, well, nobody's really heard of him. Like, maybe we, you know, we could just slip one past the goalie. Like, dude, like, people in the real media, real people, like, on the other side of the aisle, they know what this guy believes. Like, they're not going to let that shit go and just be like, oh, well, people outside haven't heard of him, so that's good enough for us. Like, no, of course not. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's insane, right? Like, it's amazing that this guy voted against certifying the 2020 election, voted against codifying same-sex marriage, voted against authorizing the Violence Against Women Act. Gee, what a weird fucking thing to not be for. Like, beating women, I mean, why should that be a hate crime? That's crazy, right? Voted against aid for Ukraine, of course. Voted against the PACT Act for vets. Voted against legal abortion, right? Like, this guy is down ballot. From a Republican's perspective, he's down ballot. He's a perfect Republican. From, you know, the whole, you got to appeal to some people in the country besides your tiny, shrinking, dying minority. No, he's the worst. Like, he is, he is a prime example of the death rattle of the Republican Party. And instead of them trying desperately to move somewhat close to a moderate, somewhat close to the middle, they're doubling and tripling down, thinking that this is going to work out. It's not going to work out. Like, Democrats are going to use this guy, like, they're going to pick this guy up and use this guy to beat the rest of the Republican Party over the head with. Like,
and not only that, but even in, like, the crazy shit, like, apparently, like, he's all for, like, yeah, like, let's fucking get this impeachment shit back up and rolling in. Meanwhile, James Comer, the dude who's in charge of the committee that was looking into that, is basically like, yeah, we don't want to do this anymore. Like, we're done. We're done with the whole impeachment stuff. Like, that, this blew up in our face spectacularly. We don't really want any parts of this. And this dude's like, nah, like, full speed ahead. Like, let's fucking go. Like, this is going to be awesome.
I told you. What did I tell you? Dude, I told you. Scuttle. Right. They want out. They want out. But like you said, this dude is like, hell yeah, we're going back in. I'm like, I okay. feel like that's not a good idea, dude. Like, again, there is a moment – see, but they're kind of fucked, right? Republicans are kind of fucked because there's a moment of vulnerability on Joe Biden, right? What's going on in Gaza is a true vulnerability for him because he's got this, like, what I would argue is this ridiculous stance of, like, you know, like, Israel, I've never done anything wrong in my entire life. Money, please. Like, that clip. Yeah, that's
fucking hilarious. I know this and I love you. Yeah.
I know this. Thanks, Daddy. Money, please. Like, it's a silly, ridiculous clip, but, like, it's not that crazy, right? Like, it really is.
Yeah.
But he's kind of keeping that at least public stance. I think Joe Biden is a lot more nuanced of a person than this necessarily the policy publicly is leading people to believe. That being said, your policy is your policy, right? Like, I don't think he believes like Israel isn't ending up killing innocent people. I think he's, it's just a political calculation from Democrats in general, is you don't want to be labeled as anti-Semitic. You don't want to try to give any space to have Jewish folks go to the right, you know what I mean, like voting wise and stuff like that. So I get it, because they're a powerful bloc. I understand that. Like, just even though their numbers aren't crazy, they're also a very vocal bloc of liberals, right? Like, so I understand that. Again, it doesn't mean I agree with the policy. I actually vehemently do not agree with it. But there is an opening here, and Republicans could exploit it. But this asshole and assholes like him in the party, they can't help themselves, right? So instead of saying, okay, we are going like trying to figure out sort of a like a way to make a wedge issue out of it and kind of force Biden's hand a little bit, they can't, because they're all in on like sucking Israel's dick too. Like they can't just go, hey man, like maybe we should like relax. Like, is Joe Biden supporting the murder of all these innocent Palestinians? But they can't say that, because they're like, yeah, we're kind of cool with it, right? Like, so because all of these like crazy Christian fundamentalists, and Mike Johnson being one of them, they have no ability to pivot. And this is the problem with extremism. You have painted yourself into this rock tight corner, and there is no ability to go, hey, I have a bit of nuance on the topic. You're not allowed nuance. Like, you've killed any possibility of that. So putting someone like Johnson here is this is not good for your party. Like, it's not. And plus, I also think there's other reasons why he's going to get fucked over too.
Well, and also too, just from a pure strategy standpoint, again, this is a dude that's been in Congress for 6 years. Right. That is not an effective guy to have at the front leading the way in one half of Congress. That's not going to be the way. And again, like, he's already at loggerheads, not just with the Senate in general, but also like Senate Republicans who aren't collectively batshit crazy and actually want to try to get stuff done. Also realizing that they're in a situation, Senate Republicans, where A, they don't control the Senate, and B, they don't, and they understand they don't control the White House. So in many cases, Senate Republicans, at least in the business of doing regular government shit, are taking a much more pragmatic approach and getting what they can. Whereas the House wants to just, you know, it's still going to be going along this policy of trying to fucking hold legislation hostage to get whatever crumbs they can, even though they have no actual foot to stand on in a lot of these cases.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, okay, so let's talk about this McConnell story, right? Because this is actually kind of a wild story. McConnell and Johnson are likely going to be like at loggerheads over this, right? McConnell wants to continue funding for Ukraine and Israel. He wants to tie the funding together because he thinks that this is how he phrases it is basically it's stopping a global threat, right? Now, it's a bit weird to use that language because I don't feel like Hamas is necessarily a global threat.
I think he is somewhat correct in that the situation that's currently going on over there, if not contained, has the possibility of breaking out into a more regional conflict, which would be bad. I think that's where he's coming from with that.
Okay, that's a fair point, actually, on McConnell. You're right. If that's what he's saying, right? I think that's a fair thing. I mean, certainly a global threat with Russia trying to take over Ukraine, that is 100%, he's 100% correct, right? And I sent you, I don't have the clip, unfortunately, but I had sent you and Andy that clip of McConnell talking about like why he supports funding in Ukraine. And he was like totally cogent. Like it was just the Xbox controller was plugged all the way in, baby. Like the Bluetooth connection was there, right? So everything was working, and he was making a completely salient, reasonable point, which is for no American lives being spent, we have kicked the shit out of the Russians by funding Ukraine. We have been able to test weapons and shit like that in a real life battle situation. We've never lost a single person, no Americans. and we're beating back our biggest enemy. Like, for like pennies on the dollar. Like, what the fuck are we complaining about? This is awesome, right? And he's actually correct, right? Like, he's actually correct. And it's weird to agree with Mitch McConnell. Like, that's weird. And it feels very
unnatural. Well, again, as we've said many times in this podcast, he may be a shitbag, but he's not a crazy person.
Yeah, he's not a crazy person, dude. And, like, again, people mix up, like, I don't like that guy. Look, we don't like that guy. Mitch McConnell is a piece of shit. You can hear it first here on Look Forward. Mitch McConnell is a real dirtbag piece of shit. But on some things, he's not wrong about. And, right, like, and the vast majority of Democrats would agree with him, actually. They'd be like, yeah, I mean, like, this is an intelligent perspective, right? Which is what's maddening about Mitch McConnell, because it's like, no, you know better. Like, when you do horrible things, you know better.
Yeah, just don't be evil. Shit. Don't be evil. Yeah. Like, just like, why do you have to be evil?
Yeah, he's like, I love it. I love it. He's fucking skeleton. It's his default, right? Like, I get it. So, like, he was very purposeful for that. And so his view is very similar when it comes to Israel. So his thought is, hey, we fund Israel and Ukraine, tie them together so that the right-wingers who only support Israel because of the Bible are forced to vote to also support Ukraine, because those people are generally so fucking stupid, not because they're Christian, but because they're so far to the right, they're so fucking stupid that they actually agree with, like, maybe Vladimir Putin's not that bad. And so McConnell is tying their hands by saying, nah, motherfucker, you want to support your boys in Ukraine or support your boys in Israel, you got to support the guys in Ukraine too, right? Smart move. I have no problem with that. I think it's actually brilliant. Though I would like less money going to Israel, frankly. I think they're fine. I don't think we need to help fund them to do a fucking genocide, personally. But I understand the funding aspect, at least from McConnell and Biden's their political perspective. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it. Meanwhile, Johnson wants to bifurcate, so separate, the funding from of Ukraine and Israel, right? Because he doesn't support, and much like every other hardcore right winger, they don't support funding to the Ukraine, but they do, of course, support funding to Israel.
Well, and not only that, but he wants to offset the money. He wants to offset the money spent in Israel by cutting out of other areas of the budget. Most notably, the IRS budget. So basically, they want $14 billion to go to Israel, but they want to take that money out of the IRS budget. To which somebody pointed out to him, "Hey, actually, it's been researched that if you cut the IRS budget, you're actually going to increase the deficit because you're not going to be going after as many people on tax auditing and get more people be able to dodge taxes." And his response to that, I can't remember what show he was on. I want to say it was Meet the Press. But his response to that was, "Oh, only in tipsy-turvy Washington, D.C. can you cut money from something and somehow rate and people say the deficit will go up." To which Kristen Welker, not in so many words, but basically brought the point across, like, yeah, you don't understand that because you're a fucking idiot and don't understand how the government works. But that's okay.
Like, dude, like, I don't like anti-intellectualism. It's really bothersome to me. And I really don't like it when it comes from people who I know no better, right? It's one thing if you say some dumb shit and, like, oh, you're dumb. Like, you didn't know. But, like, that guy knows. That guy knows exactly what she means. But he thinks so little of his constituency that he'll just go, only in Thompson, Turvey, D.C. People go, he's so folksy. He's right. And you're like, oh, fuck. Like, it's – like, as the kids say, the math ain't mathin'. Like this like, – it's a little bit more complex than, like, than balancing your checkbook. Like, it's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Well, but ironically, you can boil it down – like, you can boil down the sentiment into – a soundbite that makes sense, and that soundbite is you have to spend money to make money. Like if you want to get money coming in from the IRS, you got to put more money in the IRS. Like, that's fucking how this shit works.
But look, at the end of the day, they don't want the IRS to be funded.
Correct.
Because it hurts the people who support them, which is people who need to pay their proper taxes. So yeah, look, this fight between Mitch McConnell and Mike Johnson that's coming, Not a good one. It's not a good one. It's not good when the budget is being fought between the Republican Party and the Republican Party. Look, you're already going to get pushback from Democrats who are already going to be like, absolutely not. We're not doing the $14 billion from the IRS. That's ridiculous. Hey, we want to fund both Israel and Ukraine. Like, you're already getting pushback for those issues and many others from Democrats. But even if you somehow can get past them because you are the Speaker of the House and you have more votes, you're still going to fight with your own party about this. And then the mm-hmm. Senate – the Senate is not nearly as divided on the on these issues. So not only are you going to be dealing with, you know, trying to get past Democrats in the House, which you will do, you know, most likely successfully, perhaps, right? Then you make it to the Senate. You're fighting with your own party. But then your own party is going to join up with Democrats to go, no, we don't agree right. with this shit.
Most of these like normal resolutions, like especially budgetary resolutions, it's not like they're just scraping by in the Senate. Like, they're passing like 89-7 like is the margins that are coming through for this shit.
I mean, the House has become completely unmanageable for Republicans. Mm-hmm. Like, it is pretty much a joke that these guys can do that.
And by the way, I know we talked about it last week and I haven't heard it mentioned a whole lot, but I did hear it confirmed. They kept the motion to vacate.
They did, in fact.
So, like, again, like we're at a case where one fucking person can stand up and be like, this guy's fucking crazy, throw his ass out, and they can vote on it. And they're already going to have 212 votes for the good already, like, at their back, no problem. So if you get six more Republicans.
Right, you can afford to lose.
Yeah, then you're done.
Look, I got to tell you, if he fucks up and ends up like keeping like a situation where he's at loggerheads with McConnell too long, you're going to see that vote come up. People are like, this guy mm-hmm. needs to get the fuck out of here. And look, he's fucked either way, right? Like, mm-hmm. if I didn't think Mike Johnson was a completely garbage politician, I'd almost feel sorry for him, right? He's fucked if he fucks with McConnell, because McConnell, whatever you think of Mitch McConnell and as a human being, not much personally, he still holds a lot of sway inside that party, right? He is seen as the intellectual, you know, heft of that party when his controller is plugged in. I mean, it's just facts, right? But on the other side, let's say for some reason Mike Johnson, he can figure out a way to skirt this and get with McConnell and they can, you know, be in agreement, right? However that works out. The second you have to work with Democrats on a continuing mm-hmm. resolution, you're fucked. You're fucked. Because guess what? You're not going to be able to get this thing over – you're not going to be able to get it over the hill without working with Democrats on something. You mm-hmm. will. And all you got to do is wait for one of these MAGA idiots to go, I didn't like that thing. And then that's it. You're done. Or a moderate who says, hey, man, you're doing too many crazy things and you're not getting anything done.
Right.
I'm done with you. So because for
budgetary stuff, even if somehow the Republicans in the Senate were like, yeah, we're on board, we're gonna tighten this shit up, the Democrats don't need you in the Senate. They have their 50 votes to be able to get any budgetary thing over the line that they need to.
Yep.
So you have to meet them where they are. And again, the president is also a Democrat. I don't think you're getting a 2/3 majority to be able to override if you send a budgetary thing to his desk and it's like, this is fucking stupid. Like we're not doing this. I'll sum up Mike Johnson for you easily. There is a quote from a Republican senator who says Johnson is a good man and a friend. And that's really all you need to know, because that person is Ted Cruz.
Yuck.
So you know Ted Cruz likes this guy. So you know he fucking sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a quick commercial break after that disgusting fact, and we will see you guys in a moment. All right, so let's continue. Interestingly enough, just shuddering thinking about Ted Cruz in any form at all. let's talk about Trump wanting to violate his gag order so he can be.
Oh, honest. Yes, please.
All right, so Donald Trump is just trying to run headfirst into the into this gag order situation, right? And I know they're like the wisdom of traditional media is Donald Trump, while pushing the envelope, doesn't truly understand what's happening. And what if Donald Trump gets put in prison? He's not going to know what to do. Here's the thing. He wants you to arrest him. He is the Joker standing there as Batman is driving the motorcycle towards him. And he's saying, hit me. I want you to hit me. That's what he wants. He wants to see how far you are willing to go. And if you will pull the trigger and actually hit him. Because he thinks, rightfully or wrong, that if he is put in jail, this is a boost for him.
Mm-hmm.
Agree or disagree, Brett?
Can I both agree that he might be right, but still want him to go to jail anyway?
No.
Like, yes, can yes, I can. Can I hold? You can. Can I hold that? Can I hold both?
I agree.
Yeah, can I hold both those thoughts in my head simultaneously? Like, it's a tough thing because I certainly don't want Trump to be helped in any way, shape, or form. But again, seeing him in jail, very attractive proposition.
Look, I just need that scene of when I just fucking push his big fucking head into the squad car.
You don't, like, you don't have to be so nice.
Yeah, don't be so nice. Maybe, just maybe. Slam up against the side of the car a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't be so nice. Yeah, I think he wants it. I think this.
I definitely thinks that he thinks that it would be a major like because again he wants to be a fucking like it's a martyr complex thing. Like he thinks that would be a boon. He could say look at what they're doing to me. They're throwing me in prison to try to silence me. I mean, it's literally what he would say because it would be in response to a fucking gag order that he's violating. You know, they're putting me in jail to shut me up, and really they're shutting you up. They're putting you in prison. By putting me in prison.
If they can come after me, imagine what they can do to you. Like, I'm not breaking a gag rule like that. They would not be doing
that to me. And so, yes, to borrow another movie analogy, he is the raptor testing the fence right now. Like he is seeing exactly what he can get away with. You know, currently the New York judge has, you know, fined him a cumulative $15,000 so far, which his law firm paid. By the way, which doesn't seem like a great idea if you're that law firm, but okay, it's your money, I suppose. You'll probably never see that $15K again. And he keeps pushing, the envelope there. The judge in DC instituted the gag order against him, which he then immediately, like in the aftermath, went out and violated by talking shit on Bill Barr, who's going to be a witness in this trial against him. So that doesn't seem like a great idea. But you're right. He absolutely is trying to push it as far as he can because he wants to either make the judge look feckless by not putting him in jail or again, putting like the way he sees it, he can't lose either way. I think you can just like step up the fines in him though. I think the way you make him lose is just by bankrupting him through legal fees.
Yeah. Just like, you know, just I was going to say titrate them up, but no, titrate is too little of an increment as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Like 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, 500,000. Like, you know, starting with like Monopoly money bullshit. Right.
Yeah.
You can get to $1 million by the end of the week, baby. Like, let's fucking go. Let's see how much money you really have, right? You'd be begging to get thrown in fucking prison. Look, I think that you should absolutely throw him in jail because I think you need to establish the idea that he is not above the law. Mm-hmm. I think that is an important thing to do. That being said, he wants it. He thinks it will help him. I think it'll help him in the short term. I don't think it helps in the long term. I think the idea of Donald look at the mugshot, right? Like that's a prime example of what I'm about to talk about. Look at that mugshot, right? Mugshot comes out, he's like, never surrender, right? Which I think he missed a complete opportunity to smile. That was just that would have been the fucking move, but whatever.
Yeah. It's got to look tough, Jay.
Yeah. Well, when I think tough, I think a fucking blue blood rich boy who's never done a hard day's work with his little fucking soft hands. Get out of here. And this is coming from me. Okay. Like, relax. So I think that the mugshot was like, that was like a prime example of that. Like, get the mugshot and everybody's all riled up. They're riled up for like a hot second.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became almost like a rallying cry for people mm-hmm. who enjoyed seeing that dumb fuck asshole in that mugshot. All of his co-conspirators are like, here's me, Jenna Ellis. Oh, here's me smiling. Now what?
I do remember the trend of people like photoshopping themselves into the background,
right?
like I stand with Trump with my not mugshot that I put online because I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'm a weirdo, right? It's a rallying cry for them about for 9 hot seconds. Why? Because the Republican Party, in and of itself, in MAGA, has the attention span of a goldfish. Right? So they don't really give a fuck about that. But that stuff lives on mm-hmm. for people who really follow this shit, right? Liberals who really follow it, liberals who really want to see this guy in jail. The idea of him being put in handcuffs, the idea of him being jailed, even if it's just for the weekend, that will live with him. And that image and that thought process of like, Trump could go to jail, will live in the heads of voters when they go to the ballot in 2024. They're like, yeah, fuck that guy. Remember when he was in jail? I want that guy in jail again, right? Like, they will not forget. Conservatives will move on because that's what they do. These are the same people mm-hmm. who are like, oh, Bud Light. We're never drinking Bud Light again. Oh, that's sweet Bud Light. Oh, sweet. I can't wait to do it. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. They
like, and the other thing, too, is like normally, like, normie voters also, by and large, aren't going to understand the context behind it. They're just going to see him like, oh, like he's in jail. Like, did he break the law? Like, what the fuck happened? Oh, like, why is he in jail?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Like, so it's – I don't think that works as well for conservative red meat as people think it does. I think it works mm-hmm. like – in the short term, fucking New York Times is like, this moment is when Donald Trump becomes president. No, I don't think so, man. I don't think he realizes sitting in that cell what that does damage to him. Because then it mm-hmm. immediately makes him look like, oh, you're not just in jail, but you should never be president. Because why would I want someone who was in jail to be president? Right? Like, mm-hmm. that shit imprints on the minds of voters, dude. Like, it does. And people think, oh, they just think he's a rebel. No one really thinks he's a rebel except for his hardcore voters, dude. There's no moderate, independent people like, yeah, he seems like a real, like, rebel or whatever. They don't believe that. They don't believe it. Like, they may agree with his financial policies or whatever. Why? God knows. But they don't buy into all of that, like, Rambo rhetoric. Republicans mm-hmm. do. So the idea of having that guy thrown in prison – even if it's just for a weekend or for a week or through the, you know, the length of the trial or whatever, it's not good for him. It's not good for mm-hmm. him. He thinks it is. And I know he thinks it is. That's clear. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not what you want. And look, I just happened to work with a filthy cop named Chase, right? He can't wait to throw you in jail. And look, he's right there. He's waiting on you. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to work out. Like he thinks it is. I just don't. I think a lot more people are going to be like, cool, I like that. Let's do more of that. And yeah. I think people.
I do think that you're right, that it could charge up people on the left to be like, oh shit, like this is possible, like that kind of thing. Because again, like him going to prison,
don't think it's possible.
Still seems like it's just not going to happen. So
yeah, dude, I'm telling you, like I think the last thing you want is to gal. I mean. It's like abortion. The last thing you want to do is galvanize the left to be like, we could throw this asshole in jail again. I don't think that's what you want people to have in the forefront of their mind. And you will if you get yourself arrested. You will. People are going to be like, hell yeah. Because it's not like liberals are going to be like, oh, that one time he got thrown in jail for a weekend? Well, that was enough for me. No. No. They've tasted blood. And now they're on the hunt for more of it. Like, no, yeah. I think that's a mistake. I think it's a huge mistake to do that. But look, he's dumb. So go ahead.
That certainly is true.
The question is, will the judge pull the trigger? That's the question.
I do think that both judges will give him every opportunity to stop fucking around.
They have
and prison would only be like a last resort sort of thing. I think also too, if something happens where like credible threat gets called in against people that he's online, like talking shit about and threatening and stuff like that, I think that could also change the tenor of what they want to do. So,
yeah. So look, before we move on, I want to talk about something else that I think is fairly relevant here. Let's talk about Kevin McCarthy for a second, not Kevin McCarthy. Who's the guy who just got immunity?
Mark Meadows.
Mark Meadows, thank you.
Yes.
Chris Christie was on, I think he was on Morning Joe, and he had a clip that I thought was pretty interesting. He goes, I don't know why people think this is like, this is going to go on much longer. He was like, you can give Mark Meadows immunity unless he has information that is unimpeachable. And he was like, I don't know what people think, but come March, Mark Meadows is going to be sitting across from Donald Trump in the courtroom saying he's guilty and just giving out mad information. Like, it was like, he's fucked. And look, I think Christie's correct here. We talked a little bit about the Meadows thing because it like just happened last week. But I don't think this is a small deal. I think this is a huge situation. As Chrissy said, Mark Meadows has been Velcroed to Donald Trump's hip the entire time. And now this guy is like flipping and has full immunity. I don't think you give this guy full immunity if he has something that you could be like, it's not that important. No, I don't think so. I think Mark Meadows has some shit that is devastating to Donald Trump.
To give him immunity, you'd have to, because otherwise you would have plea dealed him. Most likely. But yeah, in order to, I mean, you're giving him immunity because he knows he's responsible for something that would get him in trouble if he didn't have that 100% agreement in place for sure. So,
yeah, I think Chrissy's right. I don't think people realize just how bad that announcement was, because it was like, it came at night and it was like, Mark Meadows, immunity. Next question, you know, but like, now, that's a huge fucking story.
It's also why Trump is out there talking shit on him, like, immediately after that shit gets announced, which, again, seems like a bad idea. Also seems like something a person who's not guilty would totally not be doing as well.
Yeah, I'd be like, nah, yo, Mark's my boy. I love Mark Meadows. we go way back, way back. We're best friends forever, right?
That's right.
Now, meanwhile, this guy's like, fuck Mark Meadows. His ugly wife. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, you're gonna go to jail. I mean, just, you know, even having Michael Cohen sitting across from him in the New York case, sitting across from him in the courtroom, just like, no, this guy right here, he's fucking guilty. Fuck that guy. Like, that was your boy, dude. And you know, it's like, nope, I'm not going to prison again. Like, fuck that. So you think Mark Meadows, a career politician, is going to save you? Like, at least Michael Cohen was like, that was his boy in there, like, he's a scumbag lawyer and all this other shit. But like, you're trusting dudes in Washington DC not to cover their ass and burn you? I don't know, man. Have you ever watched C-SPAN? Like, you might want to fucking own up on this shit. Like, these guys, they care about themselves first, you last. Like,
it's true. It also really does scare me, like, on the off chance that he does win re-election 2024. Imagine the caliber of person that he's going to surround himself with, considering that anyone legitimate's not going to want to touch him with a 10-foot pole, given everything that's happened.
I think you'd see Steve Bannon back in the White House. Like, I think you would just see the worst of the worst, just the worst of the worst. And I think they would just, it'd just be a bunch of incompetent people who were just down ballot, yes, men or women, and just being like, whatever Donald Trump wants. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But look, that's what you want to do. Like, if you want to vote for that, best of luck. I mean, I'm south of the border, baby. Like,
I'm about to say, you better clear out the condo next door. Yeah. get a few more people. Have fewer room for fewer people down there.
Hey, man, that sounds like a you problem. That's like a me problem. Like, it's, but I just think, like, I just can't imagine. I don't know what Mark Meadows has, but it must be something like emails, or it's got to be emails, right? Because he had tossed all those emails to in Discovery and all this other shit.
Oh man, wouldn't that be the ultimate irony if Trump is taken down with an assortment of emails?
But his emails. Look, I tell you right now, if it comes to pass, I shouldn't even say this out loud, but if it comes to pass that it is his emails or emails that they have that came from Mark Meadows, I'm making a t-shirt with Mark Meadows' face that says, but his emails. Like, 100%. But like, I think it's probably the most likely thing that's going to happen is it's just like, here it is in writing, dude. Like, if it's in writing and it's like all of these guys, Chesbro and Cindy Powell and all these people being like, yeah, that's what we're doing. And also being like, I don't care that we lost the election. Let's just do this anyway. Disaster. You're done. Mm-hmm. You're done. So
it'll be interesting to revisit this in the spring if the DC trial does actually kick off on time. I could see a situation potentially, depending on what good Meadows has to bring, where we get to the convention in June, I think, and he's the leading delegate guy, but Republicans are like, we cannot put him up as the nominee because he is going down in flames.
Listen,
right now,
I may come on that episode dressed in this very outfit. Like, if that, I mean, I was like, nah, like. Shout out to my boy Marshall. Like, I'm wearing the outfit today. I'm this excited.
Like, yeah. And again, like, he would still have his ardent supporters at the convention. You would see the most destructive fucking Republican convention ever if that shit were like all the MAGA guys are ride or die for Trump, and the actual like normal people in the party are just like, if we nominate this guy, we will get blown out of the fucking water because he's a criminal that's going to prison.
What was that, the 60 what election was it that like they were there was like the
run? No, 68 Goldwater election.
Yeah Like I think you could quite literally see something that bad if MAGA people get all the way up to the line and Republicans are like, nah, we can't do this is crazy, like, come on, dog. Like, this is nuts. Like, what are we doing? Like, did you watch TV? Mark Meadows just has showed video of this guy doing it. Like, it's like, yeah. I mean, if they have something on Trump that's like that plain, like audio or an email or anything that's just like nails him to the wall, there is no argument from a logical thinking person, and not speculation. Not hearsay, but like, this was written down in an email 5 years ago. Like, we have the evidence. I can't imagine the Republican Party doesn't go, this is probably a bad idea. Like, this is a bad idea. Because Democrats could just be like, here it is, the information. Like, what the fuck do you want us to say? Like, hey, here's Joe Biden. Joe Biden, what do you have to say? This guy's fucking guilty. What the fuck? There's the letter.
Oh, you don't. You're not worried about a contested Democratic primary with Dean Phillips going head to head with Joe Biden?
I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is.
Case in point. Case in point.
I literally.
Oh my god.
Wasn't that like just announced?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I didn't bother to read who it was. I was
Dean Phillips is a backbench congressperson from Minnesota who's decided, because he's afraid of the polls that Joe Biden has right now and his approval rating, he's going to run a primary challenge to Joe Biden, which we'll talk about it because it ties into our next story in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. Like, bro, if you want to, like, I mean, you're allowed. Like, seems like a wild move, but like.
Yeah.
All right. Let's quickly take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the Joe Biden primary issue, which is actually kind of a funny one. All right. We'll be right back. So this is a kind of a funny thing. It also shows the difference between the candidates, right? Like between Joe Biden and Trump. Biden will not be on the New Hampshire primary ballot this election. Just the primary, right? Why, you ask? Well, because the Democratic National Committee has this rule that says, like, listen, South Carolina was going to be the first state that the primary was going to run in, right? Meanwhile, New Hampshire, they were like, well, hold on a second. We have a first in the nation primary. Like we have it in our, like, I don't know, like
there's a state law that says New Hampshire has to be first.
Which is fucking stupid, by the way.
Right? It is very like fucking stupid.
It's obnoxious. It's a stupid thing. It makes no sense. It's also selfish as fuck. Like, it's just selfish as fuck. The vast majority of the country does not look like the diversity of this country does not look like New Hampshire. I can guarantee you.
Or Iowa, which traditionally has also been one of the first states to have a primary as well.
Right. So New Hampshire's like, we're first in the nation, so we're running – fuck you. We're running our primary first. You run it on January 1st. We're running on December 31st, that type of dumb shit. Right? Mm-hmm. So Joe Biden is like, well, the Democratic National Committee released a plan this year saying South Carolina was going to be first, right? And so the DNC Rules and Bylaws Committee sent out guidance on Tuesday asking Democratic campaigns to refrain from filing to be on the primary ballot in New Hampshire, a source familiar with the events said. So basically the DNC is like, look, since these assholes in New Hampshire are being pricks about it, like let's just ignore them and like not be on the primary, right? Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden is like, I said that I thought that South Carolina should be the first state because – frankly, South Carolina is the reason he won.
Yes, very much so.
Let's get real.
Very much so.
Now, when I say that, I don't mean like I mean it from the perspective of he was bound to win. It's just that his momentum got started once he got to South Carolina because that's actually where black people were, right?
Correct.
All the other states were white as fuck. And so everyone's like, Bernie's going to win. And it was like until we got to states where like people of color exist. And they were like, nah, we like Joe Biden. Right. And once that hit, once they got to South Carolina and that hit, that party was over for Pete Buttigieg and Bernie and everybody else. It was a wrap for them. And Joe Biden just went on to a streak of every state that actually had a brown person in it. He kicked the shit out of them. Right? He just kicked the shit out of them.
Yes, he did.
And so, look, I understand why he would be like, they should go first, right? It establishes him. I mean, look, it's not like he's really running against anybody. So it's not really.
Well, you say that.
Other guy. You said
it. You say that. You know who will be on the New Hampshire primary ballot is Dean Phillips, and I think that's the only reason that he's doing this is because he basically gets to run in an unopposed primary against Biden. Biden's not going to be the ballot. What's going to be funny is when Biden gets ridden in by like a majority of voters anyway, regardless of him not being on the ballot.
Right, and also even if Joe Biden loses, who cares?
Who cares? Exactly. Right.
He's
exactly.
going to win 49 other states.
Yeah, congrats, Dean Phillips. You got yourself 20 delegates. Like, you did it. Good for you.
look, you at least get – look, he's doing something that I can't say that I've done, right? Like,
that's true. You never have won a presidential delegate in a state. I've you are 100% Dean correct Phillips about is
like,
that.
Yeah, bitch, I got 20 on you. Now what? What's happening? I'm the GOAT. I'm the GOAT of this primary. Because there are no other contestants.
Yes.
But, yeah, Joe Biden is likely going to beat the shit out of him with write-ins. It's not like his name is spelled, you know, it's not like it's Murkowski, right? People can spell Joe Biden. It's fine. So he's just trying to do what he said, which is allow South Carolina to be the first state in the nation to actually have a primary. Look, again, New Hampshire's being incredibly selfish about this. I frankly think every election it should change.
I 100% agree with you. I think that this bullshit about fucking Iowa and New Hampshire getting all up in their shit, like, oh, we're always first. Like, fuck off. To your point, those states specifically don't you're right. They don't represent the country demographically. It's very stupid that Democratic campaigns are basically forced to fucking set up camp in bumfuck Iowa for like 3 months leading up to the Iowa caucus. Because that's so fucking important to the party. But what's funny is that like Iowa's not even a bellwether anymore. It used to be that used to be a big fucking deal. Biden didn't win Iowa when he won the presidency. Trump didn't win Iowa when he won the presidency. Obama didn't win Iowa when he ran in 2008. Like he came months afterwards. So it's not like it even fucking matters who runs in Iowa. And that just goes to underscore how out of touch the voting demographics in Iowa are with the rest of the country. And the fact that they can't even predict the dude that's going to be the fucking winner at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's selfish nonsense. And it's just like, just change it every year, man. Or every election cycle. Just change it every 4 years. Like, I think it'd be kind of cool if first in the nation that, you know, 1 year is like Hawaii. Why not? Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. Like, all right, you know what? First in the nation this year is Texas. Like, show off that it actually – if Democrats were smart, mm-hmm. and sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, it would actually show the real diversity of your party. It would actually show that you give a fuck to make sure that all voices are represented, right? Instead of just going, let's just go get represented by the whitest of white people, right? You could go to Hawaii and then everyone there is brown, right? Like, whoa, holy shit, look at all these brown people, right? Like, that's crazy. You could go to Michigan, right? You got Detroit that's there. You could go to California, which is obviously incredibly diverse. You can go to, you know, fucking Florida, you know, they've got tons of insane people there, right? Like you, all sorts of diversity, right? Mental diversity is a thing too. So like you can do that and show off the party every time, then let the other party do the same boring stickler shit that they always do. If you want to put distance between yourself and the other guys, do things that are different. That is how people go,
well, that,
oh, okay, that's kind of interesting and different.
That gets into a logistics pickle, though, because then, like, if you're not running your primaries at the same time Republicans are, now you're asking states to hold, like, two primaries, basically. Like, that's not going to be good for turnout in general, I feel. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think if you're encouraging voters to turn out, you have to align with the other party and do the shit at the same time. I agree with you that it should move around. I also think that putting it in incredibly diverse states is a great way to shake up the beginning of your primary season. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Instead of having these, like, you know, potential front runners, you could get some really big surprises that could actually have momentum that carries forward because you're getting, you know, votes from people that are across the different spectrum instead of, like you said, the whitest of the white, which, like, is what you find in Iowa.
Right. Like what does a primary look like if it goes to, if it goes to California first, right? Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, yeah, he's a popular fucking TV guy. Maybe he wins that. But maybe California Republicans are a little bit more moderate. So maybe they don't want – I mean, he probably would win it, right? Like the Republican mm-hmm. Party as it stands right now is just, you know, is a wholly owned subsidiary of Trump organization. But let's say it wasn't, though. Like that may actually force you to moderate your candidates, by the way. Because you're trying to appeal and get that good momentum going, so you can appeal to California Democrats or California Republicans, so you can get the momentum and then go, start moving your way across the country. But if you only have to appeal to whitey white, you know, McWhite Republicans in Iowa, you know, that look like, you know, look like the painting American Gothic, then like you don't give a shit. You're like, get the groundswell there, and then you just start hitting the farmland all the time, and then eventually you'll have enough votes that you can move outward. But
I think by the way, there is logistical reasons as well to hold the early primaries in smaller states. Obviously, having your first primary be in California as a campaign would be significantly more expensive than having it in Iowa, because you'd have to have a bigger ground team, you'd have to spend more on political advertising. It would be a more monumental challenge. So maybe we can say, all right, like the first primary should be held in specifically smaller states, just from a logistics standpoint. But there are still more diverse, smaller states that you can find that aren't Iowa. Shit, you could have it in Maryland. Like, that's a pretty fucking diverse state if you want to. And I know that's, you know, completely selfish of me to say that. But at the same time, like, if you're looking for a smaller geographically sized state that has a very diverse population, Maryland's a good place to be.
It is. Sucks to be you if you watch regular television, because I would advise you to cut the cord immediately if the first primary is in Maryland, because you will be inundated with ads. Like,
Yes.
Unplug your phone during dinner time and cut the cord, for the love of God, you poor people.
Yes.
Like, no way. But again, I don't give a shit. Like, again, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. All right, Brad, I'd like to talk about somebody's wife. I'd like to be real mean, if you don't mind. Mike Johnson's what we got? 55 minutes? Okay. We got 5 minutes before we go behind the paywall. Mike Johnson's harpy of a wife takes down her website that compared being gay to bestiality and incest. House Republican Speaker of the House, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson's wife took down the website for her company Onward Christian Counseling Services a day after Huffington Post pointed to documents on the site that compared homosexuality to bestiality and incest. God, Christians really need to get out there and touch grass. HuffPost reported Friday that Kelly Johnson, the wife of Louisiana Republican and newly elected speaker, is the owner and CEO of Onward Christian Counseling Services, which promotes Bible-based pastoral counseling. Her website featured a link to its 2017 operating agreement, which lays out the company's corporate bylaws and states that the business is grounded in the belief that sex is offensive to God if it's between a man – if it's not between a man and a woman married to each other. So they're even against premarital sex because they're two boring losers. it specifically puts gay, bisexual, and transgender people – I'm only adding that emphasis because that's probably how they talk in the same category as people who have sex with animals or family members, saying all of them are examples of sexual immorality. Look, man, I gotta tell you, I'm neither gay, bisexual, or transgender, but I'm pretty sure that's not like fucking a dog. Okay, like I'm just saying, I don't think it is. I think that's kind of fucked up. Pretty sure they don't have those sections mapped out on Pornhub. Like, people are really not cool with that. Though there's a really large amount of people who are cool with fake incest in porn. I am not a fan of that. I think it's fucked up. And I think people need to really be called out about it. Seriously. I don't like it. I don't. Oh, that's my stepbrother. Stop that. Stop it. Just knock it off. Knock it off. It's creepy. And white people are really into it. And I don't know why. I really don't know why. Always white.
I can I cannot help you there. So yeah, sorry, I can't help shed light on that situation.
Yeah, dude, your next white people monthly meeting, you need to stand up and be like,
I'll put it on the minutes to make sure that it gets addressed. So.
What are we doing? We got to stop getting stuck in dryers here. Like, this is getting. We got to stop. Fucking stop. Look, here's the thing that I don't understand about these bigots, right? And she is a bigot, and so is Mike Johnson. Let me read this quote, and then I'll ponder a question. We believe, and the Bible teaches, that any form of sexual immorality, such as adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bisexual conduct, bestiality, incest, pornography, or any attempt to change one's sex or disagreement with one's biological sex, is sinful and offensive to God. One, there is nothing in the Bible about changing your sex. You just made that shit up out of whole cloth. But find me chapter and verse where it's like, being trans is bad, yo. Like, there's nothing in the Bible that says that. You're just making that shit up. It's because you're uncomfortable with it. You're just saying that. Knock it off. Yeah, the Bible also says, you know, it's like, oh, you know, adultery and fornication are wrong. Would you like to point out how many people in the Republican Party have committed adultery? How many of Mike Johnson's cohort right now have committed adultery? Right? Like, are you serious?
How many of them view pornography on the regular?
Sometimes they tweet it out by mistake, Ted. Close friend. Me? No. That was one of my interns. From your personal account? All right, dude. Come on now. Knock it off. That video is fucking wild. Again, that was also incest porn. Like, that was also incest porn. Because it was like, I believe it was. It was like, oh, it's a stepmom. Like, I'm pretty sure it was. Nah, yo, Ted Cruz is a creep too. Yo. Like, Again, I don't approve of this. Like, it's a very white thing. I don't approve of it. But here's my thing. What I don't understand about these bigots. Why are you hiding from it? You believe this. Why are you taking it off your website now? If it was on your website yesterday and you believe it and you agree with it, you said, we believe and the Bible teaches, dot, 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 dot. Cool. Believe it. Then what you running from? What are you running from? You know why they run from
it? Because it makes him look bad now.
It does, but it's because they know that they are in the minority on this. They know they are. And they know that they are a dying minority on this issue. Nobody cares, man. Remember, it was a big deal for Barack Obama and Joe Biden to come out and be like, hey, we support gay marriage, even though they definitely supported gay marriage years and years ago. And then they had to change their fucking political views for some dumb fuck reason. And then they were like, oh, you know, do a test balloon with Joe Biden. Oh, I'm cool with gay folks. And then Obama's like, yeah, it's us too. We're all cool with it, even though I was 10 years ago. Right? When that happened, like literally like 30 to 40% of black people are just like, we agree with Barack Obama. And you know why they said that? Mm-hmm. Not because like Barack Obama's magic. It's because they've always believed it and they just needed a black leader that they agreed with to say, and they go,
yeah, they needed a permission structure.
They needed a permission structure. That was it. They were just like, yeah, dude, my cousin, my brother, my sister, whatever, my kids are gay. Who cares, right? Are there deeply fundamentally religious black people who don't agree with it? 100%. Those people are assholes too. They still exist, right? But the reason you could move that many people is because they already believed, right? When it comes to like the idea of, like, it's weird that people are still railing against gay people. Like, dude, you have lost that fight. You've lost it. Like, look, stick to the trans fight. It's still going on. But you definitely lost. When it comes to America, you have lost the fight of, like, put gay people back in the closet. You've lost that fight. Like, 70, 80% of Americans are like, yeah, no, we don't give a fuck, dude. We don't care.
Yeah. And at this point, like, that's something that can't. They can try to run up and try to get Obergefell overturned in the Supreme Court, and they might be successful with the current court. Again, I don't know if that's a car that you want to catch at this point. You're already seeing the backlash on the abortion thing. It's not going well for you. Spoiler alert, overturning gay marriage would go equally as poorly, if not worse.
Yeah. because like abortion, the thing is, and I hate to say this, right? Abortion is very much, unless you are a guy who actually thinks about more than just yourself, abortion is a women's issue, right? Because guys are like, whatever, dude. It only becomes a man's issue when it directly affects him, right? Or you're a person like the two of us who are like, yeah, of course I care about abortion rights. Like, I have friends who are women. I have neighbors and family members who are women, but a lot of guys just don't think about it, right? I ain't fucking them, so they're like, I don't care, right? Like, so they just don't have, they have that kind of caveman mentality about it. So it becomes more of a women's issue. Gay rights, it's across the board, right? Like, it touches men and women. Now, you could say, do straight people care about it? Yeah, a lot less straight people care about it, sure, than gay folks, but it's one of those crowning achievements in progress, and people don't want to have to relitigate a fight that they've already had.
Like, well, and, but not only that,
and then you're starting over, and people can get pissed.
Not only that, but I don't know what the percentage is behind this, and I'm sure there's polling that could probably shed some light on it. But since Obergefell, and as time has gone along, I would imagine that a lot of gay people who might have been reluctant to come out have been kind of buoyed by this and have been much more willing to come out. And I think that I would imagine that the amount of people in this country who know someone who is gay, like who is friends with someone who is gay, is absurdly high at this point.
100%.
Like, I don't know what the percentage would be, and I'm sure there's still some regionality to it, but I would imagine that number is probably pretty stinking high.
Do you know what the percentage of support for gay marriage was in 1996?
Just take a guess. In 96, I would guess it's probably around 35%.
That's cute. 27%.
Wow. Okay. Even lower. Right?
So 1996, what? Clinton's in office, right? Mm-hmm. 27%. May, and that was taken March 15th, 1996. May 1st of 2023 to 71%.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch that car if you want to, dude. I wouldn't recommend it. I really wouldn't recommend it. That's a big jump in that many years, man. That's a big mm-hmm. jump. You can't get, as the political joke goes, you can't get people to agree puppies are cute at like those numbers, right? Like it's hard to get everyone in agreement in a lot of things. 71% of this country, that means a large percentage of Republicans also agree with it, right? It's not 52%. It's 71%. That's a good chunk of Republicans. Like, yeah, who cares? Like, of course.
Well, and not only that, but you have, again, we talk about this all the time. You have a generation of voters who are coming up. You have, you know, Gen Z folks who are coming up who have been voting over in the past couple elections, and there's going to be more still, who have never lived a life where being gay is just something that exists. You know what I mean? Like they've never existed, or at least remember a time where it wasn't just cool to be gay. Like it just, it is what it is. So if you all of a sudden go back to that well and start dipping in and start taking those kind of rights away, you're gonna piss those fucking people off, man, even more than you already are.
Yeah.
At this point.
I mean, that, you know, and that's also what you've seen with abortion, right? Is the mm-hmm. idea of young people going, wait, what the fuck? You can do that? You can take rights away? They've never experienced mm-hmm. that, right? Like when you came up, if you grew up in the 60s and, you know, 60s into the 80s, into the 90s, right? You've seen big monumental rights being given, right? Abortion rights, you know, voting rights and stuff like that. You've seen those things happen. Well, these kids, like you said, who are now of voting age, they're like, yeah, all those things are already around. Like they're trying to get transgender rights like, you know, solidified and things like that. They're trying to get new rights done. But then to, like mm-hmm. you said, to dip back into the well and go, well, we're taking shit away. They're like, whoa, that's not what we signed up for. We thought we were starting at X point and moving forward. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that we were going to have to go back. Nah, dude, that's a terrible idea. Again, they have the ability to do this, and I think there's probably a conversation inside the Republican Party like, we should not do this. Like, I wouldn't do it. Like, you just got to, like, let the fundamentalists just be mad. Like, it's not
– yeah,
that's their little bit of happiness would destroy your party for fucking decades. It would destroy mm-hmm. it.
And again, I would say that I don't understand this just – incredible compulsion by evangelicals to try to force their beliefs onto everybody else. I would say that if I didn't have a fundamental understanding of the history of Christianity in the world over the last, you know, 2,200 years. So,
right. Yeah, you'd have to be completely ignorant on that. So it's, yeah, I mean,
would the Christianity ever hurt people, Jay? Yeah.
I've never done anything wrong in my entire life. I know this about you. I know this. Wild statement. So I don't understand running from it. If you believe it, get out there and believe it. Put it on your fucking website. Put it on the front page.
Say it with your whole chest as we're prone to saying.
Yeah. What you running from? What you running from? I believe God said this. All right. Then what the fuck are you taking off your website for? Well, I don't want you to know that. Really weird.
Well, according from Mike Johnson's own mouth, apparently his wife's been spending too much time on her knees lately. So
that's where she's the most powerful, according to.
That's right, according to Lauren Boebert. I don't know. I think Lauren Boebert defied that. I think she's actually the most powerful in a theater seat yeah. on a first date. So.
Oh my god, lucky guy. All right, let's take another quick break. Actually, no. No break. We're after the hour mark. So let's just keep trudging along.
That's right. Brad, devastating sad news.
Devastating. All right, you break it because I'm going to try not to cry.
I uh, I'm sorry that I don't have taps queued up to play on the podcast. Like that would be ideal. I hope you're sitting down. I know many of you are probably in a vehicle of some sort listening to this, so you're already seated. But if you're at work and you know you're at a standing desk, I advise that you sit down in your seat, lest this news knock you over like a feather. Jay, it's become clear to me, this is not my time. That was said by one Michael Jesus Pence this past Saturday as he dropped his bid to become the Republican nominee for president of the United States.
Look, Brad, there's not many things I can say about this. As I have followed Mike Pence's career for many a year, even when he railed against that filth, that smut Mulan that promoted women in the military. But I got to tell you, the best reaction to this is the only reaction, which is
yes. Jay, what's going to happen to the 2% of support that he has in the polls? How's that going to get distributed?
Distributed. Well, here's where it's not getting distributed. Also, Larry Elder's long shot Republican nominee for president has also stepped down. So Larry Elder's will not be picking up the additional 2% from Mike Pence.
I am someone that follows politics pretty closely. I am someone that has to at least have some modicum of knowledge of what I'm talking about before I get onto the show. I had no fucking idea Larry Elder was even running for president.
I'm not sure Larry Elders knew he was running for president. But yeah, quote, as I look at the path forward, and after careful consideration, in consultation with my campaign team, you have a team? I have made the difficult decision to suspend my campaign. Now that I am exiting the race, I am proud to announce my endorsement for Donald Trump.
Okay. Wow. And so that was my next question, as I was going to say, where is Larry Elder's support going to go to? By his campaign support, I mean, who is Larry Elder going to vote for? Because I'm pretty sure that was the only person that was going to vote for Larry Elder for president.
It's funny. Before dropping out, Elder met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. He attended former president's fundraiser Thursday night, as a source familiar with the matter told CNN. Can you imagine him going, "Sir, I'm gonna drop out of the race, clear the field for you." Oh, I didn't know you were running, Larry.
That's right. I serious question. Who are you again? I know you're one of the blacks that I like. I just can't remember your name. It's on the tip of my tongue. The name's on the tip of my tongue. I just can't remember your name, honestly. But I appreciate you dropping out just to make it easier for me. Not that you really had a shot, but you know,
I would imagine he'd be like, Larry, if you're not doing anything, would you like to be head of housing and urban development? Of course.
I've never met anyone so eminently qualified to do this job. I mean, look at Larry Elder. He's black.
Urban.
He's black. He knows all about the urban. He knows all about the development. He's going to make a great the housing urban development. They call it HUD. Sometimes they call it a HUD secretary. He's going to be a great HUD secretary.
I just discovered that they'll say Trump didn't discover it. HUD, HUD. Yes. All right. Idiot. The fact that Mike Pence is dropping out, I'm a bit disappointed. I got to tell you,
are you?
A bit disappointed. I am, because I was hoping that fucker would stick around for the debate against Trump. Come on, man. You should have stayed.
I'm shocked you think Trump is going to a debate.
You think he's not doing any of them?
Dude, he's too busy going to court cases, man. He doesn't have time to be going on a debate stage. He's got to sit and give dirty looks to judges for yelling at him for tweeting shit, for truth and shit, whatever the fuck he's doing nowadays.
You think he's not going to go to any debates?
Why would he? It can only hurt him. It can only hurt.
That's
him.
True. That's true. Who's next out?
There.
Who's next out?
Oh, I think Oh, Tim Scott can't be far behind, right? You know what I mean? I think Chris Christie stays around for spite.
Oh, Christie's in it to the end.
Yeah.
Christie's in it to the
end. But I think that Tim Scott could be I think the chaff's gonna go away, right? I think your Doug Burdums are probably gonna go away pretty quickly if you even realize that Doug Burdum was running in the race right now. I'm trying to think of another fringe dude who's up on that stage. A couple weeks ago. I can't remember.
Vivek stays
around. Yeah, he's going to stick around a little bit. I think he's auditioning for a position in a potential Trump cabinet. I don't think that he's the only shot they have at not getting Trump elected is coalescing behind a single candidate. That's not Trump. And I don't think that a lot of the guys that drop out would even support that. I think if Ramaswamy drops out, he's throwing his full support behind Trump.
100%. I think if they honestly, and this is a wild move, I think if they coalesce and put their power behind Nikki Haley, I think she can do damage. I do. I think she comes off as one of the most serious candidates. Mm-hmm. Not that I think she should be anywhere near a presidency. Fuck that. But I think she sounds the best. She speaks the most eloquently. She has the most coherent ideas outside of perhaps Christie, but Christie's running a suicide bomber campaign. He's not there yes. to win. He's there to destroy. Look, respect. Look, I respect it. but he's not legitimately there to I'm gonna give up my ideas that, you know, I think could win the race. No, he's there. I want to strap myself to Donald Trump and jump out of a fucking window, right? That's all he wants to do. Which is fair. I get it. That dude has gotten the fucking shaft by Kushner. He wants to destroy that family.
Yes.
I totally understand. I think Christie, Nikki Haley, and Vivek are the last ones standing. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Tim Scott's probably – I think he sticks around a little bit longer because I think Tim Scott is definitely running for vice president. Mm-hmm. Either that or, obviously, housing and urban development. But most likely, I think he's running for VP. I think that's what he's doing. Mike Pence.
I have to say, the most impressive thing, if you out there listening have not listened to the With Pod this week from Chris Hayes, he interviews Joanne Reed.
Oh, really?
Please do so. She basically illustrates in about 10 minutes why Ron DeSantis was never going to amount to anything on the national stage. And it's all stuff that was right there in front of you, but we just didn't see it. Mm. And when you get done listening to it, you're like, oh shit, you're right. He wouldn't have stood a chance whether Trump was here or not. Cause he's just that untalented actually as a politician. It's impressive to the fact that not only has DeSantis ruined his ability to win in 24, I don't even think he can run in 28 either. He's demonstrated that he is immensely untalented as a politician.
Well, okay. How the fuck else, what else does he have, right? If he doesn't win it now, mm-hmm. he's out as governor, right? Right? Because he's got...
In two years, yeah.
Right? What does he have? What does he have? Nothing. His political career as a mainstay politician, unless he can run for Senate, mm-hmm. is done. It's done.
Yeah.
And maybe he could run for Senate. I don't know. People in Florida for some fucking reason like the guy, but I don't know if that translates to a Senate race. I honestly don't. Mm-hmm. But you got Matt Gaetz. He's running for governor, right? He's next.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he's saying that he's going to do. So
look out, young ladies. So
never thought we'd see the day where we try to get someone to push the legal age in Florida down to 16. But goddamn it, Matt Gaetz is going to try.
He's like, hey. Someone's got to jump on that landmine or lay on that I don't see him after the 2 years left in the governorship because he's not going to win over Trump in this election. I think that's obvious. Mm-hmm. But I think that guy's toast. I think his career is either he gets lucky and he gets into the Senate or TV. That's it. Like,
you think he could be on TV? Ron DeSantis could like host the fucking get the fuck out of here.
Oh, I didn't say host. I didn't say slow down. I didn't say host. but he could be a commentator. Like I could see him being like a guest, like a common guest or something. No. TV show with Ron DeSantis? Absolutely not. He's got a higher chance of winning the presidency than he does for that. Is he going to be like licking the back of his teeth the entire time when someone says something he doesn't like? Like, ugh. No. That guy fucking sucks. All right. Last but certainly not least, no ceasefire in Gaza equals no votes, according to Muslim Americans telling Joe Biden. Some Muslim and Arab American groups are threatening to withhold donations and votes towards President Joe Biden in 2024 unless he takes immediate steps to secure a Gaza ceasefire. The National Muslim Democratic Council, which includes Democratic Party leaders from hotly contested states that can decide elections such as Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, urged Biden to use his influence with Israel to broker a ceasefire by 5 p.m. Tuesday. One, that's a little crazy, dude. Like, by Tuesday? All right, well, that time has already passed. Like, like, relax. I think you can say you need to have a – you need to push for a ceasefire. That's not an unreasonable thing. But to be like, the ceasefire needs to happen at 5 o'clock on Tuesday is, like, a bit crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I 100% understand this. Like, this doesn't bother me at all.
Is it also like, am I an asshole for thinking that this is really just political jockeying, honestly? Like, they're trying to sway influence on him to, you know, negotiate in their favor. I'm so far, like, I'm willing to give the administration the benefit of the doubt and realize that their behind the scenes line that they're taking on Israel is probably a bit harder than the public line that they're trotting out. And I think those calls for humanitarian aid are growing from the administration. Like, Anthony Blinken put out an op-ed today in the Post to talk about how, you know, like Israel needs to do their part to, you know, for Palestinian aid.
To help the people on the ground. Right. They literally did a strike at a refugee camp.
Right.
Like,
and I also think that, again, as we talked about last week, when the rubber hits the road, in these elections, people are going to vote for kitchen table issues more than they're ever going to vote for any foreign policy issue. And I may be a little bit flippant in saying that. I understand that with especially like Muslim Americans, they can, you know, trace back ancestry or family to, you know, countries around that area that, you know, might be involved in these conflicts or might have more direct lineage to it. And that could just be a blind spot for me, but just knowing how voters vote, that's typically how things go.
I think you're right on both aspects of that. Do Muslim Americans give a shit seriously about this because it affects them and it can possibly affect their families and everything else directly? 100%. Do the vast majority of Americans not give a fuck about foreign policy? 100%. Right? Like, is it fair? Is that a sad, you know, point? Yeah, it is. Look.
I'll give you here's the other thing too. It's not like those voters are gonna like. It's not like they think Donald Trump is gonna do a better job for Muslims in the Middle East. You know what I mean?
Right. So. They're not stupid. Like, what the fuck, right. Man, idiots. But look, I got to tell you, people tend to, and I'm speaking of like general Americans here, not Muslim Americans who are affected by this. Not that Muslim Americans are not regular Americans. That's not my point. But people who do not have people in these type of conflicts, it is far easier for people to think about foreign wars and foreign things that are happening than to deal with things that are in their backyard, right? That's true like 99% of the time. But when it's an extended war and things like that, people tend to go – they tend to pull back, right? Because they're like, well, I don't really understand it. This is complex or whatever. And then they start to focus on kitchen table issues, right, or things that are happening in their backyard. Like a prime example of that is we can talk about a bunch of conflicts around the world that are happening that we're funding quite literally, we had a conversation about funding Ukraine and Israel and not bifurcating that funding and everything else. The people in Jackson, Mississippi still don't have potable water. The people in Flint, Michigan still don't have potable water from years ago, right? These are still issues. It's easy for us as Americans to like, what's going on in Israel? What's going on in Gaza for like a hot second? But then when shit gets pulled back and you go, oh yeah, these other things are happening still right near me. Then people focus. They focus on local things. And frankly, with those two issues, not enough, right? But the federal government tends to over-focus overseas and not focus locally. Like, it's a weird dichotomy that doesn't make any sense to me. I've never quite understood it. But I think it's easier to just like always deal with like other shit so you don't have to deal with the complicated shit at home, right? So look, I think Muslim Americans have every right to be pissed. I think they have every right to hold their votes if they want to. I don't blame them at all. If you see your family and people who look like you being destroyed and there being a genocide against them, and the American government seems to be taking the side of the genocide, you know, the people doing the genocide, I get it. Again, I don't think Joe Biden is an idiot. Slow on the fastball a little bit, yeah. But I don't think he's an idiot. And I'm sure that there's probably like back channel shit that's happening trying to like, hey, Israel, like you got to fucking chill. Like you got to chill, right? And maybe they are working on a ceasefire. Because look, in reality, some of that type of shit you don't want to work in the foreground, right?
I would say most of it you probably – like you don't want to conduct this out in the open. You really don't. Yeah, it's typically when you see deals like this negotiated, we find out about it when it's ready to be announced. Like, we don't know about the back and forth. Like, when they want to keep shit clamped down, they're really good about keeping shit clamped down. Like if it's something they really don't want people to know about, they are very good at keeping it close to the vest, only letting certain people in the circle, you know, keeping the knowledge limited and making sure it's with people that are trusted that aren't going to let that shit get out. Great example, and this is a very different example because of the sensitivity of an operation, but like nobody knew jack fuck about like the Bin Laden raid, you know, when they executed that until it happened.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like I do think that there's probably work going on to try to like to fix this and get a ceasefire.
I know there is because again, to your point, I don't think Biden is stupid. I don't think the people in his administration are so blindly in the tank for Israel to be like, oh yeah, whatever the fuck they want to do is a-okay with us. Like they want to fucking level Gaza. They want to fucking send in, you know, airstrikes on in crazy and roll tanks through the town. You got our vote. Like, no, they're preaching patience. They're preaching, you know, not escalatory acts. They're preaching humanitarian aid. And that's you're starting to see that publicly more and more. And you can imagine if they're saying whatever they're saying publicly, they're probably driving even harder emphasis behind the scenes.
Right. And so like that being said, it's unbelievable to me that they would just be so flippant. Right. But this is the price, like this is the price of foreign policy because you have to be secretive, because you have to work that deal in the background, because you cannot work that deal in the public, because if you work that deal in the public, other people will try to intercede. They'll try to fuck it up. Whether it's fucking Hamas will try to fuck it up or, you know, because they don't want to seem weak. Israel will try to fuck it up because they don't want to seem weak.
Or Iran will see as the opportunity to throw a fucking, you know, monkey wrench in the works and, you know, send Hezbollah in or whatever. So
right. Or fucking what's his face? Like Republicans will try to fuck it over from a domestic side. Like all of that shit exists. And so you have to be able to like negotiate all of this and try to get all of that done and be like, everybody on board. Cool. All right, announcing it today. Ceasefire's happening in 2 days, right? Like that's what you have to do. And because of that, all of that time working up to that, you're getting destroyed in the media because they're like, you're not doing anything. And it's like, we are doing something. We just, if we tell you, you're going to fuck it up. So we have to make sure we're done.
I also truly think that Biden and the administration does not mind standing out front and taking those slings and arrows, knowing what they're working on in the background, because they know that once the thing gets announced, and again, we're speculating, we don't have any proof either way of this going either way, but let's say they can help broker a ceasefire, or they can help broker a way to get, you know, Palestinian citizens out while still, you know, pressing Hamas, and they can announce this deal, people are going to forget about the stuff leading up to it. They're going to focus on the here and now. So they're fine taking some punches now because they're working towards something that's going to be looked at more favorably.
Yep. And look, let's get real. At the end of the day, when you get a ceasefire, not only are people going to look back and go, they got a ceasefire, things worked out. It's just not going to be, there's not enough loud Muslim voices that are going to be like, but wait a minute, remember when they're what? People had already moved on. Mm-hmm. And is that fair? No, it's not fair. Is it true? Yeah, it's true. Sorry. I mean, it's sorry to say, right? Like there was a report that, Democrats were like, well, like in the background, like Joe Biden, people in Joe Biden administration were like, well, Muslims will get over it. And people were like, oh, that's really disgusting. And I'm like, yeah, it is disgusting. But at the same time, like that probably is some people's sentiment. And it's fucked up. But it's also true, right? Because as fucked up as it is, if Donald Trump is the nominee, you think he's not going to say some repugnant shit about Muslims? And Muslims are like, absolutely not. Fuck this guy. Look, Joe Biden really fucked up, but this guy's calling us like pigs in the street or some shit. Like he will say it because he's got to suck up to try to get the Jewish vote. So he's gonna say, which is weird because like he won't. But to appeal to like hardcore right-wing rabbis and shit, he's going to have to say some dirty shit about Muslims in general, and he will. And the Muslims are like, fuck that guy. Like, fine, like, fuck the other guy then, right? Like, it's just the nature of politics. And it's gross and it's weird.
I mean, you hear Joe Biden say it all the time, and it's true. They're not going to compare him to the Almighty. They're going to compare him to the alternative. And he's still going to come out ahead of the alternative looking significantly better, for sure.
Yeah. True story. All right. That is it for us. Any final thoughts, predictions, Brad?
Absolutely not. I cannot wait to learn more about Mike Johnson in the coming weeks and months. I'm here for all the Mike Johnson information. Every dumb fucking thing he says. Jay, did you know he thinks that they were dinosaurs on the Ark?
I'm actually upset that we didn't cover that. Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
Again, like I said, what a fucking gift! What a gift for me. I like putting just a fucking evangelical fundamentalist in that position. Thank you so much, Republicans. I really hope the moderates you enjoy that vote because we will not be seeing you all in 2025.
No, and look, I think it's cool that we have someone in politics that directly represents Micah's views as a fundamentalist Christian so well. I think it's important. I think it's great. Representation matters. Like it truly does. So, all right, that is it for us. We will see you guys next week for another one.
See ya.